And so we have Youth Speaks. So we have Brother Gareth coming to speak to us tonight. So let's all say, God bless Brother Gareth.
This is going to require some audience participation. Now, can anybody tell me who Brock is? So I got her, and him. They remember. That didn't have to do anything with it. So tonight I'm just going to be talking about Nehemiah and his quality of leadership. So Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. What that means is he would serve drinks to the king. And typically you want to look happy as a cupbearer because a way to kill someone is poison. So if you're looking sad, giving someone a drink, they're not going to trust you. Nehemiah had heard the night before that Israel's walls had been destroyed. They've been crumbled, just downright oblivion. And he prayed to God saying, hey, if I can go to Israel and rebuild the walls for them, maybe could you send me there, please? So he goes to the king the next morning with the drink, and he was sad because of Israel. And about the bit before, you don't want to be sad looking if you're a cupbearer. So if you're the king, you're looking at Nehemiah, and you're saying, why are you sad? That's what he said. And what Nehemiah said is, my kingdom collapsed. The gates have been destroyed. The walls are down. They're defenseless. They're gone. The king looked at Nehemiah and said, oh, if it's going to make you happy, go rebuild them. I don't care. Go rebuild them. I'll give you the supplies. I'll give you the card to my wood guy. Just go be a leader to him. So what happened is he went down to Israel, and all the people, I like to think they're in a panic frenzy, thinking, we got to rebuild the walls. We don't have any supplies. Our temples have been destroyed. And Nehemiah's there to be like, chill, dude. Just build the wall. I'm right here. I'm here for support. I'm here for being a leader. So what Nehemiah does is said, everybody take a piece of wood, take some tools in one hand, but also take a weapon in the other and able to do an attack. Like if an enemy comes up to you while you're in the middle of building, you don't want to go run to the middle of the city and just be like, help, I need a sword, I'm here, give me the sword. You'd rather be prepared. And what I think of Nehemiah as a leadership quality was he was a leader to the people. He was the person that guided them. He basically went to the people while they were all in a frenzied panic, all distraught because they had just been destroyed, their walls are gone, and he came and said, chill. And he came there. He went to Israel and basically gave a leadership quality of saying, I will lead you. I will stop your panic. I will tell you what to do. Kind of reminds me when I cleaned my room. I'm in this chaos. I'm in a cluttered mess. This pigsty, I'm trying to figure out what the heck do I do first? Do I do this? Do I do that? And my mom's there, and she's basically saying, focus on this, then do this, and then that will clean it all up, and then you go do this, and then do this afterwards. So Nehemiah is there basically being, hey, clean all this up, do this, and the walls will be better. Do that, and your people will be stronger and be prepared. Now, what I think of Nehemiah's leadership qualities, he was also a servant to the people. He was also submitted to God because when he heard about Israel, their wall being destroyed, he could have been angry at God saying, why'd you do this? We were the chosen people. Why'd you have to give this to them? But instead, he said, God, take control. I submit. Everything's crumbling. You take control. So Nehemiah was there to serve to God, but also to be a ruler to the people. And that's really what I have tonight, and I'll give it back to Pastor.
Let's all stand, and we'll turn to Luke chapter 13. We'll read verses 20 and 21, and then we will skip 17 minus, or let's see, 7 minus 3 is 4. We'll skip 4 chapters ahead to Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. So, same verses, makes it nice and easy. Luke chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. And again he said, he being the Lord Jesus Christ, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And now let's turn 4 chapters in the future to Luke chapter 17. In verse 20, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Praise the Lord. Brother Pulford, will you pray God's blessing on us tonight, please? So tonight I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God and leaven. The kingdom of God is a huge topic, and there are many parables, many illustrations that the Lord gives us about the kingdom of God, but the first and foremost thing we need to remember about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is wherever God is king. So if he's king in your life, then the kingdom of God exists within your life. If you're in a situation and in that situation you make God king, that becomes the kingdom of God. And so nations, countries, dominions, principalities, we have all these words for things, but ultimately they're just made up. Commonly agreed upon fictions, right? Yuval Harari made a very cogent argument about this. There is, in nature, there's no such thing as a kingdom. There was no nation before humans got around and decided, I'm the boss because I've got the biggest club and I get to tell you what to do, right? And so these things really, in the physical world, only mean something because we agree that they mean something, and we allow some representative of this shared fiction to hold the monopoly on violence to coerce our behavior and coerce our involvement in that shared fiction. But what we do see is that in even those shared fictions, God raises up rulers, and he tears down rulers. So we can found a nation and call it the United States of America, and we can pride ourselves in being a government of the people, by the people, for the people, about the people, taxing the people, oppressing the, anyway. And we can be proud of all these things, and yet we see over and over again that the hand of God raises up and tears down. But in the kingdom of God, there's a slightly different aspect because God is the sovereign king. He reigns supreme over all of creation and outside of creation. There really is no place where God is not king. But unlike other kingdoms, unlike other dominions, he does not yet enforce his kingdom. And so we have the opportunity to belong to his kingdom, to be a part of his kingdom, or to exist outside of where he exercises that sovereignty. And so we look at this kingdom of God, and if you're like me, you want to be a part of the enacted, empowered kingdom of God. I don't want to be just in a world where he rules simply because he's the creator, and if he wants to, he can do whatever in spite of me. I want to belong to the kingdom where he is my king because I love him.
Yes.
He is my king because I do what he commands.
Yes.
That he's my king because I'm in right relationship with the King of Kings.
Yes.
I don't want to be conquered territory. I want to be a natural part,
yes,
an inhabitant, a citizen of that kingdom. And so we're reading here a description or a picture of the kingdom of God. How shall I liken it? It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And this is a simple parable, and we're not going to get into any real deep esoteric understanding of this, but you don't have to, because the word of the Lord meets you where you are and is infinitely deep. So looking at this, you know, we talk about leaven nowadays. People don't really often know what leaven is. And I've heard this talked about in terms of if you mix a little bit of yeast in with a bit of dough, all of the dough gets yeasty. But that's not actually what it's a word as of now. That's the great thing about language, is you make a syllable, you make some sounds and decide it means something, and that's now a word, and that's what it means. So Shakespeare was great at that. So leaven is more than dry yeast. It's more like, because did you know that dry yeast wasn't always around? Yeah, back in Pharaoh's time, they couldn't run down and get a packet of yeast to mix in with their bread, right? That's relatively new. That was in not this century, but the century before this one, because we're that old, Brother Phil. But what it really refers to is more like a sourdough starter. You know, you take some bread and you mix in some water and you let it sit, and the natural yeast and the natural bacteria in the air and in the water start to feed off of the flour and starts it's a bubbling in my soul kind of deal. And that's the starter in like the non-baker's description, right? And so the image here is of a woman who takes this sourdough starter and she goes and she hides it, and it says, what's it say? Three measures of meal. If I recall correctly, a measure is something like 16 and two-thirds of a pound. And so three measures would be 42. We're going to say 50 pounds, right? I never carry the decimal correctly. But we're gonna say roughly 50 pounds. But meal does not mean dough, right? Meal means flour. It's wheat flour. And so the picture here is not of a baker taking the yeast and pouring it into this dough and kneading it. It's literally of taking a bit of sourdough starter and tossing it into 50 pounds of flour to hide it. And you'll see people say, oh, well, in this context, it means mixed. And maybe it does, but the only other place it's translated mixed in the Bible within that context is the same parable in Matthew. I'm going to say 13:33. It's Matthew something 33. And so let's read it as it says, hid or put into, right? And other places it's used when the Lord talks about hiding in your heart. And so taken at face value, this is taking a sourdough starter and tossing it into the middle of 50 pounds of flour and hoping to hide it. What happens, anybody, if you put a whole bunch of a sourdough starter in a whole bunch of flour? Well, turns out it will dry out the starter, and the starter will die. You have to add a little bit of water. If it's just dry flour, now I haven't practiced this. This is what the internet tells me, right? But what the internet tells me is you can dry out a starter and you can kill it by adding just flour and not adding water. And yet the scripture says the kingdom of God is like when a woman hides leaven in 50 pounds of meal till the whole was leavened. How does flour become leavened? It's dry, it's powdery, right? And so you kind of look at this and I'm like, well, I'm not sure that really, maybe it means adding sourdough to dough, but that's not what the words say. And so without making this doctrine, without drawing a line in the sand, and if you disagree with me, you're a heretic, I want to kind of explore what that might mean, mixing leaven, mixing a starter, in with a whole bunch of dry flour. And what could possibly make that turn all leavened? So I then look at that second reading of ours in Luke 17, verse 21. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. And so we always want the kingdom of God to be somewhere else, right? I want to enter into the kingdom of God and know that I'm working in the kingdom. But the kingdom of God is not external. The kingdom of God is here, right? The kingdom of God is inside me. But I also know that the Lord said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What happens if you add water to flour and then you add the leaven? All of a sudden you got a whole bunch of dough, right? And if you're not careful, that dough is going to grow and grow and grow. We've all saw the cartoons where it blows up the oven, right? And the whole room is full of dough. So I think every cartoon on the planet at some point has mentioned that little theme. So I started to think about what this can mean. And the fact of the matter is the kingdom of God is not like anything that is natural. You can't take any metaphor and apply it too literally, because we're talking about the kingdom of God. And God is not bound by such incidental things as the rules of nature, right? And so I thought, okay, if he's within us and the kingdom of heaven is within us, we might be that 50 pounds of flour, right? We've been ground down. We've been sifted. We've been starched. We've been unfortunately processed, right? We've been through it. But when you add the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and when we choose to make him the king in our lives, we find that we're no longer just a mess of flour, but we become a whole bunch of dough. Flour by itself is useful in a whole bunch of, you can use it in a whole bunch of things, but by itself, sitting in the bag, it doesn't do a whole lot. In fact, G.I. Joe, the cartoon, told me that flour can be used to make explosives. So wherever you hold your flour, make sure it's far away from sparks, evidently. If you can't read what you read in the comic book, if you can't believe what you read in the comic books, what can you believe, right? But flour by itself doesn't do much, but you add the living water, and then you make him king, and that leaven will turn you into something that has many uses, right? The thing about leavened bread is you take off any chunk of it, and that can be a starter. You know, you can take a chunk and give it to your neighbor, and now they've got a sourdough starter. And you get a chunk and hand it to somebody else. And it just keeps growing and growing as long as it's properly fed. Right? The kingdom of God just needs that one decision in your life to start a process that will expand beyond your immediate life and into those around you. It multiplies. It's designed to spread and to expand. And so we can think about this, and you know, like a little starter and a whole bunch of flour, it starts very slowly to grow. It's not an immediate process. And making God king in your life starts with just one small decision. We talked Sunday about small things, right? 19 seconds. Well, our decision to serve the Lord, to make him king, doesn't come down to this gigantic one-time decision that he's king and bam, that's done. It comes down to every moment, every decision, the Lord is my king. I'll follow him in this. You know, over and over again, it's that continued small micro decisions, we can call them, to make God the king in your life in that situation. And it starts small. And it may start with a struggle, but almost imperceptibly, over time, it will grow and it will grow. The other thing about starting even the small part of your life and your being, starting enacting the kingdom of God in your life, is it transforms everything that it touches. When God is king in your life, he will start letting you know when it starts bumping up in areas of your life where he's not king. And you'll have the chance to make him king over that. Or you can harden your heart against him and wall that section off. Right? But it requires a decision. It will transform your life. And it'll affect every aspect of your life. The other thing about enacting the kingdom of God in your life is that influence expands. And like we talked about, how you got 50 pounds of flour makes a whole bunch more of dough. And so that expands not only within us, but it expands through us to others and helps them learn to make him king in their life. And you give them that little starter, which we can just call that decision to make him the king no matter what. We ask that when we baptize people. Are you committing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ no matter what? And we all lie and say yes. It's not really a lie. We are committing. We just forget that we've committed that when it comes up against something we don't want, right? But we mean it. And we sometimes feel bad about it when we're called on it, you know? So it's in that moment. And so the kingdom of God expands and continuously grows. There are starters around, maybe not here locally, but I was watching a documentary a while ago about it. And there are some starters in Europe that have been around for centuries. And that seems ridiculously long to have a piece of yeast and dough, but they keep taking off a chunk and they make bread every day, and they just keep that one source, evidently forever. They just keep adding a little bit of whatever it is to keep it growing. I probably should have rewatched that documentary so I could talk with a little more education about what you do with starters. But the fact of the matter also is that leavening, it starts small, it grows and expands, it transforms, but it also takes time. And a lot of times we see in our life, we may just be at the pancake stage of rising dough, and we expect to be at the very light and fluffy kind of bread. Brioche, there you go, that's right. They make, those are the buns, right? Yeah, so brioche. And we want to be at a different stage of fermentation than we really are, right? Or we expect other people to be a brioche when they're just at the sourdough stage. That's still dense, right? I'm gonna say that is. And so if not, then cornbread? I don't know. You don't use yeast with cornbread, do you? It doesn't matter. With a less leavened kind of bread, right? And so when we start, you know, I have in fact made pancakes. And usually those are started with either baking soda or baking powder in them, right, to give it the quick rise. But you wouldn't expect the pancake mix to make a baguette, right? You wouldn't expect it to make French bread or Italian bread. And so when we think about the kingdom of God, we also have to understand that not everybody's in the kingdom looks the same. They're not all at the same degree of maturity, nor are they all intended to be the same end result. Some are called to be brioche. Some are called to be sourdough. Some are called to be rye. Some are whole wheat. Some are whatever, you know. And yet we all seem to think that the kingdom of God needs to look exactly the same in your life as it is in mine. But we're all called to different purposes. We're all called to different ministries. And the important part is not, oh, see, here's the kingdom of God. You have to be here. It's that the kingdom of God is, in fact, within you, that you are cultivating it, that you are allowing it to grow and to expand and to start directing your actions. It's a gradual process. It takes time. It takes a cultivation. And our goal is not to become a specific kind of bread. Our goal is to allow the kingdom of God to thoroughly permeate our lives. And whatever we are at that moment, we need to make sure that we are what God wants us to be in that moment. So the kingdom is unique to each individual, and yet there are certain commonalities, right? The fruit of the Spirit are the same. So you're not going to be the one Christian called out to judge everybody else. That's not one of the ministries. You aren't going to be called out to be the one sacred enforcer of holiness standards, right? Or the one gifted gossip bearer, you know? There are some things that are not fruits of the Spirit. But the way our walk with God and the way our part in the kingdom of God is different in each individual. Some people are called to intercede in prayer. Some are called to evangelize. Some are called to be prophets. Some are preachers, teachers, etc., right? And some of us grow fast. Some of us grow slow. And, you know, I kind of look at this, and I was trying to think of stages of leaven, right? I know we make naan, which is just flour and water, right? It's a flatbread. It doesn't have time for the yeast to do much, like the matzah crackers that we use, right? And the sole purpose of flatbreads are to shovel some kind of food into your mouth instead of a spoon, right? They're designed to be edible spoons. That's why they exist. Then you have the lightly leavened, like the pancakes and waffles. You've got other more thicker crusted, less leavened breads. And then you've got those nice, fluffy Wonder Bread kind of things, the light, airy textures. And again, the whole point is not what kind of bread you are. It's to be in full submission to God's reign, to allow that fermentation process, to cultivate that within you till it expands and kind of permeates your being, permeates your thought process, makes it instinctive to measure how is God king in this situation? How am I going to make God king in this situation? Am I trying to take the seat away from him? Or is he king in this situation? And so it is unique. The kingdom of God is also a present reality. Now, when we're reading, it says that hid in the loaves till it became wholly leavened. That was a one-time decision. And yet allowed to continue, that one-time decision ended up affecting the entire 50 pounds of meal. And so when we start thinking about the kingdom of God, and he made this clear throughout all of his scripture, We're not looking ahead to the time when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Yes, he is king, and his kingdom will be undeniable. But his kingdom is also that present reality here and now as you decide that he is your king and that you are, that you belong to him. And we can experience his reign in our lives right now. And part of this is, as I was speaking yesterday about when I was praying with my friend, not yesterday, I guess it was Sunday, about how sometimes just that moment to pray together enables, kind of frees God to act in that situation. It gets that person to think and assent to whatever God intends in that situation. So it's, terminology is always tricky, and I always, you know, and you want to nitpick, but commonly it's like speaking God into a situation. Well, you don't speak God into anything, right? But you can, in that conversation, redirect attention from us in the situation and redirect it to him and reemphasize, Lord, you are the king, and we surrender ourselves to you, yep. Right? That's called, that's what I mean when I say speaking God into or giving God space, right? It's giving that space to God, I guess is a better way to say it. And the kingdom is a present reality within everyone who makes him their king. And so, as we close today, I think it would be wise for us to take a moment of reflection and think, how fully have we allowed God's reign to take place in our lives? How fully have we cultivated that starter, that leaven, and allowed it to build throughout us? Or have we tried to dry it out and just keep it in one separate section? And I would argue that our intent ought to be to allow his living water to flow throughout us and cause that leaven to continue to grow. And so also we should identify one area. This week, I was talking to Sister Doris and Sister Chris this morning, and I think I was talking to somebody else a while ago about that idea of 1% better, right? If you can just make this one small change, you'll be surprised at what a small positive change will make. And if you do a couple of those, it's not just additive, it can be multiplicative, right? It can be exponential. And I'm not going to share those examples with you, but there are ways, and if we just pick one thing this week where maybe we haven't fully surrendered it to God, and maybe we should just take that one thing and right here and right now say, Lord, I surrender that to you. You are the king in my life, and that means in this area as well. And then as we go our way, I mean, it's Wednesday, so we only have a couple more days till the weekend and God's blessed day of rest. And so right here, we can say that. And then in the morning, remind ourselves, okay, that is a part, that is under God's kingship. Because the kingdom of God is within me and is expanding beyond me. Because I'm saying, Lord, you are king over my actions. Lord, you are king over my words. Lord, you are king over my responses. And Lord, you are king over my imaginations and my thoughts and my emotions. You are king over it all. And if you would just take that one item in your life and more and consciously work to submit that to God, I think you will find that just like this parable, his blessings and his power and his influence will expand far beyond that one little thing that you're holding back, and will start to grow and influence and bless every other aspect of your being. Amen. All right, so let's close. Brother Lou, why don't you pray our dismissal?